Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I want to really encourage you to be back tonight to hear Boyce College, the Boyce College Choir. This stage will be transformed tonight. We'll have 100 voices from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Boyce College that will be here tonight presenting Song of Grace. It is going to be a tremendous presentation tonight, and I want you to come, and I want you to be aware of that. Also, let me just say to all of our children here, we are dismissed to children's church. Of course, they know that. They've already taken off on me. But I want to make sure they know, those that are waiting, that they are. It's time for children's church for them. So I want to encourage you to be back tonight to hear Boyce College. And then also, I have something very exciting to share with the church family this morning. We are in a search. I've mentioned to the church family, we are in a search for someone to help us with our youth ministry, and so I'm really asking you to pray that God would lead and guide us as we seek that position here in the life of our church. We also have been after folks that could help us in so many key areas, and two areas, our preschool ministry and our children's ministry. And I want you to know that we have enlisted some wonderful people that are going to come on staff to be a part of that ministry. Leanne Prevett is going to take the preschool ministry. So I don't know if Leanne is in here right now, but Leanne is, there's Leanne right there. Leanne, stand up, all right? This is Leanne, all right? Y'all welcome Leanne to our church staff. I'm sorry, Leanne. I was looking over here. Leanne's been working in the bed babies this morning. Who's with the bed babies right now? Just kidding. No, anyway, she is amazing. Listen, she has a master's in education, and God is going to use her. She's already been plugged into that work. And then Allison Harris is going to take the children's ministry. Allison, would you stand right here? Let's welcome Allison to our church staff. Allison is an elementary teacher. Her training at the University of Florida is in elementary education. And she has shared with me that God, really several years ago, shared with me that the Lord put in her heart a desire to work in children's ministry on a church staff. And the Lord opened up the door, and we are so delighted that both of these sweet ladies are going to be a part of our staff team. And you'd be praying for them. And let me just say, in every facet of our work, we need help, okay? There's places that you can get plugged in. So I'm excited to make those announcements now. We still have work to do, right, church? We got to be praying, and we got to be asking the Lord to help us as we move forward. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Let me read these out loud, and you follow along in your copy of God's Word. This is Paul writing. He says, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Is God really the God who can use us as believers? Can he use us right where we are? Can Jesus use me? Is the theme of this little series. We have looked at the Apostle Peter. We've looked at the Apostle Paul. Today we take it to the next generation. Because you see, Peter was one of the apostles. The Apostle Paul was as well, a little bit removed in terms of being there with him in the flesh. However, he did encounter Jesus personally on the road to Damascus, and he is a sent one, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now we move to someone in Scripture that's a little bit more like us, someone that did not necessarily see Jesus in the flesh, was from a whole nother town, and was a Greek, someone that was not raised in the Jewish faith, and all of a sudden we ask the question, can Jesus Christ use me? And Timothy says, yes, you better believe it, because your future is bright. Now, Timothy was, as we see in Scripture here in verse 5, look at 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and am persuaded is in you also. I'd like for us to think about just three principles that I want you to know about as we look at the life of Timothy and as we think about God using us. Now, church, listen. The preaching event is very exciting to me. I love to dig into God's Word and to proclaim the Word of God. I want to make sure, though, that sometimes in the event of preaching, it's possible to miss the thrust of all of it, which would be a major mistake. My goal today is that everyone in this congregation realize that no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, once you have given your life to Christ, Jesus can use you in His kingdom right now. That is the whole thrust of this series of messages, that Christ wants to use you right where you are. So I want us to look at three principles from the life of Timothy, all right? The first one is this: a bright future begins with conversion. Now, in verse 5, he tells us that he remembers Timothy's genuine faith. It dwelt first, it says, in his grandmother Lois, and he says, in your mother Eunice, and am persuaded it is in you also. Timothy perhaps was converted on Paul's first missionary journey in Lystra. Lystra was a little town of Macedonia that Timothy was from. And in Acts chapter 14, you may go back and read that later. We're not going to read it all today. But in Acts chapter 14, verses 6 through 23, Paul went to Lystra on his first missionary journey. And some believe that young Timothy may have been saved on that particular journey. But the Scripture is clear that Timothy was converted. He says, I am persuaded that faith is in you also. Now, how does he describe it? He describes it as genuine faith. The word genuine there means without hypocrisy. In other words, there's no disguise. In other words, you're real in your faith in Christ. In other words, it means something. Some people say it this way: your faith is authentic. It really is through and through in your life, and it impacts your life. And you notice that even as a child, he was taught the things of God. Go to chapter 3. I want you to look at chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:15. It says, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are now able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So from a child, Timothy was taught the Scripture. Now, there's indication that Timothy's father was not a believer. His mother is mentioned here. And notice that Paul does not mention his dad. And let me say to all of our young people here, let me say to every child that's under the sound of my voice, if you have parents whom both have accepted Jesus Christ and love the Lord and are trying to bring you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you are a very blessed person. Timothy evidently did not have that. Sometimes we are tempted to say, well, because I didn't have that upbringing, because I didn't have, you know, both of my parents sold out to Jesus, you know, I have to limp along in my Christian life and not let Jesus use me. And make no mistake about it, no matter what your background, when Jesus comes in and converts you, when He saves you, when you give your life to Christ, as these ladies demonstrated today in baptism, that they have made that decision, as you do that, Jesus will use you right where you are. So he's talking about this mom and grandmother that are transferring genuine faith without hypocrisy. It's the real deal. This is what kids need. Kids need parents who are real. I remember a fellow years ago was teaching a parenting class, and his main principle was to be authentic and real without hypocrisy. He said that is the number one quality in his observation that communicates to children. In other words, if you're wrong, are you willing to admit you're wrong? Or do you let pride come in and somehow stop you from ever admitting that you did wrong or perhaps spoke wrong? A genuine type of faith. This is what kids need. Now sometimes those that are teaching and preaching think they know it all. I heard about this young preacher. Now, I wouldn't have done this, okay? I just want you to know that I would not have done this. But I heard about this young preacher who didn't have any kids at the time, and he got up and preached a series on parenting. And this was the title of it, 10 Commandments for Child Raising. Boy, I tell you, it was strong. He knew all the answers. Well, then, several years later, when he had little children of his own, he redid his series on parenting, and he titled it this, 5 Suggestions in Child Rearing. Now, by the time his kids were teenagers, he preached that series and he entitled it, Good Luck on Parenting. Hey, listen. I tell you, raising kids is an amazing thing. But can I say this? I think we have insight. We have insight from the Apostle Paul about one quality that if we'll be tender towards it, God will use it in raising kids. He says, when I call to remembrance in verse 5, your genuine faith. Circle that phrase, genuine faith. Hey, listen. How many times has a dad gotten up and wondered, oh, Lord, help me to make the right call for my children. Help me to guide them. They want to go here. They want to do this. They want to go there. Lord, give me wisdom. And you wonder whether or not it's the right call. Can I say this to you? If you get up every day of your life, Dad, I believe this scripture is telling us, if you get up every day of your life and you say, Jesus, I want my faith to be real in me. The time for hypocrisy and the time for wearing masks in the kind of world in which we live doesn't communicate anymore, folks. We have to be authentic. Timothy didn't have a dad that professed faith in Christ, so the scholars say. But he had a grandmother, and he had a mama. By the way, I think mamas have pull with God. I just believe that. I just believe grandmamas have pull with Almighty God. But he had a mama, and he had a grandmama who had genuine faith. And Timothy, through their influence, he came to know Christ and he was converted. And it says, I am persuaded, he says. That is an absolute type word. He was absolutely convinced, Paul was, that Timothy had that same faith that was in him. So, he was taught as a child. You know, one of the things that I'm so thankful for is as Leanne leads our preschool and as Allison leads our children's work, that we major on Scripture here. North Central has always been a Jesus church. It's always been a Bible church. And by the way, you get rid of me the day I don't open the Bible, okay? Because the Word of God is the only thing that can change us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible is what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. I'm thankful that when I came to know Jesus, they majored on the Bible and putting the Scripture in us. I remember going to a discipleship course as a teenage boy, and they said, we're going to memorize Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, He's a new creation. The old things pass away. New things come. I remember memorizing that. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I memorized that 40 years ago when I was about 15 or 16 years old. And I've never forgotten it. By the way, I quote it in the King James Bible because that's what we used. By the way, the King James Bible is easier, they say, to memorize because the words are a little unique. And so it gives you little handles to hold on to. And so sometimes you can memorize those versions. But the point I'm trying to make is God's word is the only thing that can change us. I just reached out to John and Nicole last night. They direct our Awana program. And I'm thankful that in all facets of our children's work here, we major on the scripture. But just in Awana, in our older group, they memorize a minimum of 70 verses a year. Sometimes up to 100. Hey, if they're in their 3 years, third, fourth, and fifth grade, that's 300 verses of scripture. That's like an arsenal of scripture. And when, listen, if you have an elementary child, if you have a cubby, you know what a cubby is? How old are cubbies? Somebody tell me. 3 and 4 year olds. If you have someone that's a cubby age all the way to the fifth grade, I'm telling you, it'd take a team of horses to keep me from keeping my kids in that program. That's one of the best programs for hiding God's word in our hearts. What is Psalm 119:11? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Children memorize these verses of scripture and God blesses them. The scripture says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore they shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Hiding God's word brings success in life. And I'm just so grateful that just as Eunice and as Lois were trying to hide God's word, our parents are trying to hide God's word in the hearts of their children. This is very, very important, and it leads to conversion. Timothy, they poured into Timothy. Can God use Timothy? Oh, you better believe it, but it begins with conversion. Let me ask you a question. Have you been converted? You say, oh, pastor, you talk about being converted all the time. You give an invitation all the time. You know why? Because is there ever a decision more important than that? Is there a decision more important then are you saved? They said George Whitefield kept saying, you must be born again. He kept preaching. And they said, why do you keep preaching that? He said, because you must be born again. Ladies and gentlemen, as a teenage boy, I got saved. And everything changed in my life. Everything. My friends, the direction of my life. Ended up coming down here to UF, got involved at North Central as a college kid. God was working in my life. The Holy Spirit, as we used to say, was bouncing off the walls in my life, changing things about me, bringing me under conviction. And he wants to do that. He wants to do those types of things in all of our lives. But it begins with conversion. It begins with being saved. Have you been saved? Now, if you have not been saved, at the end of this service, we're going to have a time of invitation. You say, well, I've seen that before. What happens there? We all pray, we stand and sing, and if there's someone here that is not sure they have been saved, they're not sure they have been converted, then you just step into the nearest aisle and come forward. I'm right here to greet you. You do not have to say anything in front of the church. It's not intended to be embarrassing to anyone, but it is our way to pair you up with someone that'll take an open Bible and explain to you how you can know that you're saved. Listen, you may start a company that is on the cover of the Fortune 500 magazine. You may have the most powerful title, but if you miss Jesus, it will be an eternal decision of regret that will follow you for all of eternity. And I promise you, what you're looking for in your life is found in Jesus Christ. That has been my experience. And by the way, if I just dismiss this sermon, which I'm not going to do, by the way, but if I did and I said, would anybody stand up and testify that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to them? You know what would happen? We'd go home sometime later on tonight, because people would stand up and they'd start saying, oh yeah, I got saved when I was 28. I got saved when I was 14. I got saved over here. Somebody maybe over at Calvary Baptist, I don't know. Maybe somebody here at North Central years ago. We'd have a time finding out how far back we go that somebody got saved at North Central. And then somebody may say, Laura may say, I got saved at North Central 3 weeks ago. I don't know. We had somebody saved here Wednesday night. Wednesday night, we were having dinner. Ben and Ann thought they were just cooking chicken. And they were. And it was good, but God used it. We had somebody here Wednesday night that tears started coming into their eyes, and they said, I need to know about Christ. And Miss Charlotte Hart got to talk to them, and before it was over with, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. Folks, listen, that's what this church is all about. That's what our Christian life ought to be all about, is getting the gospel to people that need to know Christ. So a bright future begins with conversion. Number two, a bright future continues with spiritual growth. That's the blank. Everyone needs spiritual growth and discipleship. Now, this message is a little unusual because I'm moving around in the Bible a little bit to talk about Timothy. But I want you to find 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. If you don't have it, they will find it on the IMAG there on the screen. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17 says this: For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere and in every church. Back up to verse 14. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. The Apostle Paul calls Timothy his beloved son. He treated him like a son. And can I say this to you, Christian? Every believer needs spiritual encouragement. We need spiritual nurture. In 2 Timothy, let's go back to 2 Timothy. Find your spot there. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 2 it says, And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We begin with conversion, but we continue with spiritual growth. Training. That's why we have life groups. Now, congregation, if you're sitting here and you're not involved in a life group, I want to encourage you. You're welcome to sit in our worship service. We're grateful to the Lord that you're here, and we want this Bible study to be an encouragement to you. But I want to challenge you to do something. You're not going to get, now this is hard for me to say because I love to preach, but you're not going to get everything you need in this worship service. Boy, that's hard to say, but it's true. You know what? You need a life group. You need to have people around you encouraging you and helping you and praying for you and loving you. Dr. Waylon Moore talked about spiritual pediatrics. You know, a pediatric ward or a floor at a hospital, boy, they have the latest and greatest apparatus to help babies grow, to make sure they're okay. They check them out. What do babies need? They need love. They need nourishment. When you bring a brand new baby home, what do? You give them love. And can I say this? Our newest believers, they need love. They don't need judgment. They need love. They need to know that they're welcome and they belong as a part of the family here at North Central. Then they need nourishment. That's where the Word of God comes in. That's why the theme of our life groups is the Bible. That's why we preach the Bible. That's why we try to get the Scripture into our children and our adults and our mamas and our daddies. Then they need protection. Babies need protection. They can't be left to their own, and we need to make sure that those that are believers in Christ here are not getting, for lack of a better way to say it, false and weird teaching. They need to stick with the Scripture. Just because somebody's on the internet doesn't mean they know the Bible. Can I have an amen? Just because somebody's on television, what that means is they have a lot of money. It doesn't mean they don't necessarily know about the Bible. You need to get somewhere where you trust those that are students of the Bible and they're teaching the Scripture. And then the other thing is, you need to learn how to nourish yourself in the Bible. See? You need to learn how to nourish yourself in the Bible and study the Bible. And that's where you get into training, love, nourishment, protection, and training. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, back at our kind of original passage, if you look at verses 6 and 7, Paul is discipling Timothy. Now, can I say this? He was convinced that Timothy had genuine faith, but one thing he was worried about is Timothy was timid. He was a young person. And sometimes we're a little bit hesitant. And so here's what he says: "Therefore, I remind you, Timothy, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." In other words, you remember when you gave your life to Christ. You remember how you discovered your spiritual giftedness and how we laid hands on you that God would use you in a special way. And evidently, Timothy was a little timid, and I have been there. You have been there. You ever knocked on a door in visitation before? Some of y'all will relate to this, and you're wishing they don't answer the door. I have to admit that I've been there before, but you know what? Every time they've ever answered the door, I've always been grateful that they did, because it gave me an opportunity to talk to someone about Christ. But he says to Timothy, he says, you remember, you got to stir up that gift. That means to stoke the flame. People all the time are saying, you know, I don't know about church today. I don't know we need church. You know, I just have my own walk with the Lord. Well, let me tell you what church can do, what a church ought to do. It ought to stoke the fire. He says, stir up the gift of God. That means to stoke a fire. You take a fire and light, have a big fire in your backyard maybe, and let it go all night, the embers just kind of go down. Or when out there at your place, you know, the embers, you have a burn pile, the embers just go down. All of a sudden, you get out there and you got that big old huge log out there just spitting, and, you know, it's got a little heat in it, and you just get around there and just kick it a little bit and get you a couple new little logs, and next thing you know, poof, there it comes again. We need that in our spiritual life. That's what he's saying. That's what that word means, to stir up, to stoke the fire. And then he says to him, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Timothy, you're my son in the Lord. Don't be fearful. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And so he is mentoring him. He's discipling him. And folks, we need that. All of us need that. We need accountability in our life, spiritual encouragement in our life. We ought to be developing relationships like that. We ought to be believers having lunch together, coffee together, meeting early. You say, well, I start work at 7, meet at 4. I heard somebody say one time, oh, y'all always talk about having a quiet time. Man, I can hardly get to, I get up at 6. Hey. You won't succeed getting up at 5 till 6. That's too close. Try to get up at 3:30. The sheer shock of it will get you up, okay? But this is important. And so you do what it takes. And so he says, he's discipling him. He's mentoring him. Barnabas did that for Saul. Barnabas took Saul in when no one believed in him. And Barnabas discipled him. I think about the power of mentoring. I asked in our prayer meeting yesterday, our men, we had prayer yesterday morning. And by the way, we have a men's prayer meeting on Saturday mornings that is one of the most glorious things to me. It's one of been the highlights of being a pastor here, is meeting at 7 o'clock with these godly men that started this, that was going on when I got here. And somebody might say, well, Pastor, you're going to continue that prayer meeting. Now, you telling me that I'm going to stop a prayer meeting on my watch? There's no way. We're going to continue that prayer meeting. Hey, listen, you ought to come join us. It's a glorious time. Mr. Cheshire was telling me about Lyman Thomas. Some of y'all remember Lyman Thomas in our church. When I was a college kid here, Brother Lyman Thomas was often found in the kitchen. He was cooking and grilling out stuff for the men and things like that. They say that Lyman Thomas worked for the JEA here, and he mentored a young guy in the electric for the company there. The guy ended up becoming the whole head of the whole thing. Listen, that is in a secular business way of describing what may happen in a spiritual way. You say, well, I'm back there working with these kids. Nobody knows I'm back there. Hey, listen. There may be a Billy Graham come out of that crowd. You don't know what God may do. You say, well, man, I got middle schoolers. You got to be called to middle school ministry. Amen? Hey, let me tell you something. When I was in youth work, they used to say, boy, you got to get them by high school. You know what they're saying now? They're saying, you better get them by middle school. I don't know that it may not be one of the most important groups that you ever could work with in that age. And so, mentoring. Let me ask you this. Are you involved in discipling in any way? Think about this and just write these words down. Everybody needs a peer. P-E-E-R. You need a comrade. You need somebody that's on the same level as you, and you know, man, if you've got a need, you can ask them for prayer. Everybody needs a pace setter. That's somebody out front. When they do the Daytona 500, they have a pace setting car, right? And that pace setter kind of gets the pace going, and then he better get out of the way when they really crank it up, right? But they have a pace setter. And everybody needs a pace setter. That's somebody out ahead of you. There may be a historical pace setter, somebody like Hudson Taylor, that you're reading books by him. But you need somebody out ahead of you, holding you accountable, challenging you in your life. And then the third one is everybody needs a pupil, somebody behind them that they're encouraging. Everybody needs a pace setter. Everybody needs a peer. Everybody needs a pupil. Church family, that's what Paul did. Paul did that to Timothy. And the truth is, can it go on for generations? Can Jesus use me? He can. As long as I'm converted, as long as I'm in spiritual growth. And the last thing is this, a bright future involves advancing the gospel. We've got to have an assignment. Now, Paul called Timothy his fellow worker. And I'm going to give you some scripture verses, and we may turn to a few of them, but I want you to write these down. In Romans 16:21, he said Timothy is a fellow worker. He gave Timothy an assignment. In 1 Corinthians 4:17, we read that. Paul sent Timothy to represent him. In Acts chapter 17, he said, I want Timothy to stay in Thessalonica. The scripture says in that passage, it says, then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens. And receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. And so he gave him an assignment. Church family, everybody needs an assignment. What's your ministry? You say, well, I don't have a ministry. I just come and sit down and I listen. That's wonderful that you're doing that, but I want to encourage you to have an assignment. Start as a greeter. Miss Rita will put you to work. Start as a greeter. You need an assignment. Get on one of these doors and smile. Now, if you're not going to smile, don't sign up for it, okay? But you know what? The way our people are, man, everybody ought to be a greeter. They ought to be welcoming new people. You never know. Someone may come through those doors that is so discouraged. I've heard them say it. I've heard people say, I came through and I just knew when I walked in here, this was the place the Lord wanted me to be because somebody greeted them. So get an assignment. You can start as a greeter. One day, You could help out in our Awana program. You could be a listener. Can you listen? Can you listen to kids quote scripture? Oh, what a joy. Kelly did that for a while. She used to tell me every Wednesday night, she said, one of the greatest things I've ever done was sitting down with these kids. They're so amazing, listening to God's word being quoted. So, but everyone needs assignment. Maybe a Bible teacher. Some of y'all have been teaching the Bible for many, many years because God has gifted you. If you have that gift and you're not using it, that's a shame because you're gifted that way. Maybe you're a musician. You ought to get up here and sing. You ought to play up here an instrument. This amazing orchestra that plays. Brother Reed back here who blows that trumpet. He's our first trumpet, man. That guy can blow that thing, you know. If Gabriel needs a little help on that day, we got Reed. Reed will blow that thing. But the point is, use your talents for the Lord. Get involved in advancing his kingdom. And by the end of it, let me say this. Timothy was the pastor in Ephesus. Can God use me? Can Jesus use me? Timothy says, yes, you have a bright future. Timothy was converted. Timothy was involved in spiritual growth, and God used Timothy. He became the pastor there in Ephesus. And at the end of his life, at the end of Paul's life, he called for him. Matter of fact, just look in 2 Timothy chapter 4 at the very end. This was the last two verses we have recorded that Paul wrote. In verse 21, this is 2 Timothy 4:21, do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and the brethren. He says to Timothy, do your best to come before winter. And the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. So Timothy became a pastor, and Paul had trained him, and God used him mightily. I want us to bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.